Welcome to Wake Up and Pay Attention, the podcast fueling positive change from the inside out. I'm Mark Robertson, your host. With over 25 years as a professional coach, I'm thrilled to explore the personal growth tools that have helped me and hundreds of people just like you design and awaken to their best life. If you've ever felt overwhelmed and unfulfilled, like you're just going through the motions day after day, maybe you're afraid one day all the balls are going to drop, you're in the right place. Together, let's expand our self-awareness and make sustainable shifts that improve our communication skills, relationships, and overall well-being. This is a judgment-free zone where openness, understanding, and support rule. So grab your headphones and get ready. It's time to wake up and pay attention. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 6 of Wake Up and Pay Attention. It happens to be the Friday before St. Patrick's Day when I'm recording this, so I hope you've had a great week, and I look forward to sharing today's topic with you. Where are we headed today? We're going to look explicitly at relationships today. So what we'll do is we will shift the focus, the primary focus we've had thus far, on you taking a more powerful look at you, typically in the context of just working on yourself. And it'll be now about you taking a more powerful look at you in relationship to others. And so that brings in not only awareness of yourself, but also awareness of others and how those two are coming together. And so today I want to offer a framework that I've been using for a while around relationship that I think is more powerful than some of the frameworks that are out there. And I call it the relationship dance. So we'll explore that today. But before we get to that, we're actually going to look at foundationally, like, how do human beings create and build relationships? We're going to take a real fundamental look at that. And again, the hope, like always, in Wake Up and Pay Attention is that to help you first see what you may not see before in this arena. And then by helping you see some new things, maybe you're then able to take some new actions in that area that will help you get better results, help you get better relationships in your life. You know, I was thinking about today's episode before I got started a little while ago, and one of the key thoughts I had was, at least for me, across my lifetime, there can be a lot of suffering in our relationships with other people. We often have suffering with ourselves, by ourselves as well, but I think particularly when we get into relationships and all our crap shows up and all their crap shows up, and it just can be challenging at times. Wonderful at times, but also challenging at times. And so, in addition, I would say this also can be our greatest area of growth. I remember some dear friends of mine years ago, I was commenting that I'd really done a lot of work and felt really good about myself. And their comment was that, "That's great, Mark. And wait until you get in an intimate relationship with a woman." And I kind of laughed. And lo and behold, here now, 20 years later, that's proven to be true. And so I just wanted to share sort of that overarching thought. I think we're human beings, we're social beings. And so I think we desire to be in relationships with others. And so I think it's important to learn the tools that can help us do that much more effectively. And again, I don't think many of those tools are really out there in our world today. So let's get started. Here's how I like to begin this conversation. When you look at every relationship you've ever had in your life, so all your past relationships and your current relationships, with two exceptions, which are your parents and your siblings, I'm going to claim that every other relationship you have started in exactly the same way. What is it? And the answer to that is someone spoke to someone, someone responded and answered, and away we went. And so what do I mean by that? All human beings' relationships start in conversation. Communication, but I like the word conversation better. We begin relationships through conversation. And so you walk up to somebody and you say, "Hello, my name is Mark." And they say, "Hello, my name is so-and-so." And you start talking about stuff. That's how human relationships begin. So I say it this way. Conversations start, maintain, deepen or erode all of our relationships. That's how powerful they are. And so that harkens us back then to what we've been talking about, which is language. But I think it also points to all three of the circles we've been talking about. There's language in every conversation. There are emotions associated with every conversation. And there's bodies. There are bodies associated with every conversation. We even say body language. Again, I'll repeat it. Conversations start, maintain, deepen, or erode our relationships. Another way that I've thought about this through the years is essentially the conversations are the relationship. So what does that mean? It's like if you think about people we call acquaintances, why are they acquaintances? Because we typically are only having a very narrow set of conversations with them. Maybe we're only talking about sports and the weather, and that's it. So it's a very shallow relationship. Those narrow conversational topics create narrow, shallow relationships. And if you think about some of the best relationships in your life, most of us have best friends that we've had a long time, usually about a handful or less. Why are we so close with them? Why are they best friends? Because we have over time pretty much gone anywhere we need to go in conversation with them. And those conversations have created the relationship. So in many ways, it's to and fro. The more we begin conversations and we start sharing more about ourselves and we start asking about them and they share more of themselves, so we go deeper and deeper in conversation, the relationship expands more and more. And then at times down the road, we will have the courage to really have some hard conversations and they will engage with us. And when we survive those, it expands the relationship such that it will then hold even harder, more challenging conversations. And we go there and we deepen it. And so you can see the relationship between our conversations and our relationships. If you think about it too, even your relationship with yourself is conversational in nature in many ways. That piece we've been mentioning, how you talk to yourself in many ways will define the relationship that you have with yourself. So just some key ideas about how humans do relationship. The starting point is always conversational. So at this time, I ask you to begin to reflect on how conversations are shaping your relationships. Do you have some key relationships in your life right now that aren't quite where you want them to be? So I want you to begin thinking about, what are the missing conversations that I might need to introduce with huge courage into this relationship in order to improve it? Or what conversations might I want to get from this other person that I think they maybe aren't saying, and I'd like to invite them to have that conversation with me? So what conversations are missing? When you look hard, what are the conversations that are working really well that you can see are constituting or shaping that relationship? I would say keep those up. They're working really well for you. And then which conversations need to stop? What are the conversations you can see yourself having again and again? And it's like, I need to stop having that kind of conversation in this relationship. And I naturally think about when we get triggered by our partner or someone close to us and we lash out. That's often one of those conversations that can be damaging. And they're hard. There's learning and growth in this area to learn how to not be so triggered or how to respond differently. But often there are conversations we have in relationship and you look back later and you wish you hadn't said that. So those might be some of the areas that I'm talking about in terms of conversations that you could stop having or you could shift in your relationship for the betterment of you and the other person involved. And so in future episodes, we'll look at what I have referred to, I think once before, as what are called the speech acts or the language acts. Those are the fundamental building blocks of all human conversations, and I'm excited to get to them at some point. But those are the tools that I'll share with you along the way that will help you, I think, have more effective conversations, have more powerful conversations. If you step back for a second, though, and you look at just the idea of conversations, I think naturally, at least for me as a trained engineer years ago, conversations have two sides. There's the speaking side, and then there's the listening side. And so the speaking side are those using those speech acts effectively in your conversation so that you create a really nice relationship dance, if you will. But often more powerfully, I find in our relationship, something that can shift it immediately is the listening side. So I teach a particular way of listening that we will explore in a later episode, which is called listening to understand. I think in so many instances, when another person speaks, they really want to be listened to. They want to be listened to be understood, to be validated, not to be made wrong, not to fix something. One of the primary ways we often listen is to listen to reply. And that's like interrupting people and talking back real quick. So I just like the framework of really deeply listening to understand others. I think something kind of magical can happen when we're deeply listened by other people. It invites us to be even more open. So one last point I'll make before I get to sort of the relationship dance ideas, if we take this to sort of the corporate arena or the organizational arena, and I guess this could apply personally as well, is anytime you're acting as a leader, if you really look at what leaders get paid to do, leaders get paid to have effective conversations. They are in meetings all day. They're emailing. They're using other mediums, text, Slack, IM, DM. But the essence of all leadership action is it's conversational in nature. And those conversations are always shaping their relationships with people. So I want to expand your conversational repertoire and in turn, giving you maybe a much better chance to have really healthy, effective relationships. So we could say this as a sort of the last point. Here's a tip. If you have any relationships in your life that aren't working for you, how do you change them? Change the conversation. Think about going and doing the conversation differently with that person, some manner of doing something different in the hopes of that will shift the relationship. That's what I'm talking about. That's the lever for change in a relationship. So let's shift gears now to that idea I called the relationship dance. So what do I mean by that dance? It's like you come to a relationship with another person, and what happens is when you meet them, you start engaging, you start talking, you start listening or not listening. You start shaping what I call the relationship dance with them. It sort of becomes, over time, the patterned ways that we learn to respond and interact and engage with others in a relationship. And in some ways, we could say, you may have heard the expression, we teach people how to treat us. That's the dance. It's if you allow certain things that are unhealthy and negative, they will probably continue to do that, and you will probably continue to respond the way you do, and you'll have a dance that isn't working for you. So again, I would say that you can look at all your relationships and look at them from the standpoint of the dance. So think about this. How many of you in your life have met people before, and it's like immediately you hit it off, you just feel comfortable, and then the next thing you know, you find yourself an hour later going, wow, look how quickly the time passed. We've been talking about a lot of things. That's a really nice dance getting started. And then you probably also have some relationships in your life where it's not that. It's choppy. We're stepping on each other's feet. It's uncomfortable. I've had a few like that in my lifetime where I tried everything I could try to shift that dance, and I just couldn't get it to a place where it ever got comfortable, where it was ever easy. And as I'm talking now, maybe the reason for that is it's not dependent. The relationship dance isn't dependent on just me. It involves the other person as well. So I've had relationships in my life where I've realized this person is just really challenging for me to dance with. And I've noticed others commenting that they're challenged as well in dancing with this person. So it's an opportunity probably for that other person to learn some new dance moves or learn how to dance better with people in relationship. So when I start thinking about relationships and the relationship dance, the to and fro of ways that we engage and respond with each other, usually there are some aspects of it that work. Usually there are some aspects of it that don't work. But I also begin to think about is what's your best dance move? What's your go-to dance move in conversation in relationships? Usually most of us have one or two go-to moves. Is it the tango, the salsa, the rumba? Do you like the box step? Do you like the two-step? Do you like the square dance? You know, we all kind of dance differently. And hopefully we are partnering up with people that can dance well with our style and also bring a style of dancing to us that we really like. And it looks really great. It looks effortless. I know some people in my life who have relationships, and I look at them and I go, wow, that's a really nice dance. It's almost like they're my standard for how I want to do the dance with my partner or how I want to do the dance with my friends. And I'll tell you right now, like I have a group of buddies, a group of male friends that we have a fantastic dance with one another. We don't talk about it that way, but what I will say to you is, man, we know that we can go anywhere we need to go in conversation with each other. It's really powerful. I've had people comment, other men comment about like, wow, I don't have relationships like that with my guy friends. And so I'm really grateful for that. So what do I mean by the dance? It's like, from a negative perspective, it's like if one person in the dance likes to yell and the other one puts up with it, then they're dancing and they're training each other. That's okay. When you go silent, put up with it, the other person will yell more and you'll go silent. And now you're upside down in that dance. They have the power and you don't have the power in that dance. Again, as I mentioned, I've seen some really beautiful dances where both parties are there taking care of one another, listening, but also strong enough and standing for what they need in the relationship at times as well. So there can be both positives and negative aspects to dances. So let me share a few points that I like to make in my workshops and with my coaches around the relationship dance. So they go like this. The first one is the conversations start the dance, and then the actions that follow begin shaping and creating the dance, and it will unfold over time. And I think we settle into habits of how we dance with one another, even some habits that we know don't work, but they become habitual. So it's important the conversations begin all relationships, but it's important that your actions are consistent with what you say. If you don't do what you say you're going to do, then you'll undercut yourself and you will destroy trust in a relationship. The second point is you're both shaping the dance. One person is not entirely responsible for the dance. So if you've ever blamed someone for being the problem, they're why the dance doesn't work, I would invite you to look again. I don't think that's the case. The exception, of course, would be children. There are instances where children are not responsible for the dance and victims are not responsible, and maybe some with adults. But in general, I find in most adult human relationships, we're co-responsible for why the relationship is the way that it is. Now, in organizational settings, I would say leaders are more responsible for that because they have power or what we call formal authority that followers don't. So sometimes I like to think about in a work relationship, leader starts with 60%, follower 40%, and then we go from there. But I think it's also safe to say that in certain personal relationships, as they evolve over time, sometimes one party tends to have more power than the other. The other one gives up their power and we settle into that relationship dance. So in that regard, we might say the one with the power is more responsible. But again, still, I would invite the one that doesn't have the power to look at their part in it. What are they doing? So the next point is, you can only control, and I say control with air quotes there, or be responsible for your part of the relationship dance. Know which part is yours and handle it, address it. And this is hard to discern sometimes, really hard to separate. What's mine in this struggle with this person and what would I say is theirs? Okay. And I'll see people that take on too much ownership of the dance that isn't working. They own theirs and part of their partner's. And you can't do that. And then I see the opposite of other people who want to blame the other person for a lot of why the dance isn't working when in fact they have a role in it as well. And they're not willing to look at it and address it. So it's kind of like keep your own yard clean, keep your side of the street clean, and don't worry about other people's side of their yard. Focus on yours, handle yours. Remember from the first episode, you can only change yourself. You can't change someone else. You can invite them to change. You can invite them to dance differently. In fact, that's the next point. If you realize what you're doing in the dance that isn't working, I would say get about working on that and being a better dance partner. Get some growth and learning in that area and become a better dance partner. Because what happens is when you own your stuff and you change first, you come to the dance differently the next time with this person you're dancing with. That's an invitation for them to dance differently with you. You go first, and then they might respond differently with you, but they may not. What I find sometimes is that if you're the person that's given up your power and you want to reclaim some of that power, take a stand, put some boundaries down, sometimes that other person who's had that power for a long time isn't excited to give that up. So they may not dance differently, at least at first. It may take a number of times where you make a new dance move, a more powerful move before they get it and go, wow, they're changing. I'm going to have to give up some power here in this dance. And ultimately, I'll be the better for it as they will as well. So again, when you change first, that's an invitation for the other person to dance differently with you, but they may not. I had a client years ago who noticed in the dance with her colleague that she was looking to do everything she could to get her colleague fired. And that's what she was up to. And it was a contentious dance, and it was a difficult dance, and she was exerting her influence and power when she could. And when she realized this in our coaching, she had the courage to go to this other person and own her part and say, I got to tell you the truth. I'm putting my sword down. I'm not attacking you anymore. I've been trying to get you fired for a long time, and I don't want to do that anymore. It's too important, our relationship here. And the other person started crying and said, I know you've been doing that, and I got to own up to my behavior. I've been doing the same thing. I've been trying to undercut you at every turn. So it opened up this beautiful, powerful conversation for the two of them that literally shifted that relationship, shifted that dance in one incredible, powerful conversation. But I would submit that wouldn't have happened if it weren't for my client first noticing her behavior, going and owning it, leading off in the conversation and being accountable for her behavior. It created the opening for her colleague to step into and have a different conversation or dance differently with her. And they got committed to working on it. Doesn't mean they didn't retreat to the old dance step from time to time, but they were very committed to shifting that relationship. So those are some ideas about this notion of the relationship dance that perhaps may be helpful for you. The last thing I'll point to in terms of talking points on this takes us to the organizational realm is I say this, if you look at it from that perspective, then an organization and a team in an organization essentially is a network of conversations and relationships. That's what teams are. In fact, if we go to the personal realm, a family is a network of conversations and relationships. And so your job, especially if you're a leader in an organization or a parent in a family, you are the protector, the guardian, the initiator, and the facilitator of those conversations and the relationships. So I have a visual of this, literally. I'm a visual person, so I can see the network up there with circles for each of the people in the network and then lines between each of them that are the connections. And it's your job to make sure all those lines are strong and healthy and we can have all the conversations we need to have. We have a really strong network. That's the way I think about this. So a few more ideas maybe about the relationship dance. I think I mentioned it before, but I find that just having one dance move for all your relationships generally won't work in some relationships. It might work in a lot, but it might be time for you to expand your dance moves, your dance repertoire. Do you need to learn how to have some new conversations to create some new dance moves? And another sort of thought, and we may get into this deeper, I remember one of my coaches years ago said, it really boils down to you got just a couple choices in any relationship you have. You can either accept that other person, and in that case, accept all of them and how they dance, and in that case, you're going to more likely be peaceful. Or if you can't accept them, then you have to know conversationally how to ask them to change. And they may accept, they may commit, and they may go about changing and things work, but they might also say, no, I'm not going to change. I like who I am. And so now you're left with coming back to the first step, which is you have to accept them and all that they are in that dance if you want to continue the relationship. Otherwise, it might be time to step out of that dance. It might be time to leave the dance floor with that person. And those can be really difficult questions to confront when we're looking at our relationships. Last thing I'll ask you to look at in terms of your relationships and your relationship dances is, are there things right now when you look hard at them that you're willing to tolerate that you probably shouldn't? Things that you're putting up with that you probably shouldn't? Do you know how to engage that in a conversation that can change that dance? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. We'll get to in later episodes teaching you some tools around that. So I hope that makes sense and has provoked some thinking for you with regard to conversations, relationships, human relationships, and how we dance with other people. I don't know about you, but in all of my relationships these days at 58, I want to have a dance that is really wonderful. I say it this way these days, like I don't get in relationship dances or stay in relationship dances with people that don't feed me. So I find myself investing more and more time and energy in dances where I'm getting fed and they're getting fed. And those are the people that I want to be in relationship with these days. I have less and less time for superficial in authentic relationships. I just don't want to spend my time there. So where did we go today? First idea was the conversations are the relationship. That's how human beings start, maintain, deepen, and erode relationships is through conversation. And there's a lot. There are a lot of aspects to that, right? There's the speaking side. There's the listening side. There's the emotion that you bring. There's your body language. So it's not just words that we're talking about. We also talked then about the relationship dance, like the patterned, ingrained ways in which we learn how to treat one another in a dance over time. And then they're very powerful. We fall into habits of those sometimes, and we struggle to make the corrections or change those because it becomes so habitual. But I assure you that it's possible, okay? And we talked about those bullet points of the relationship dance. So be responsible for your part, own your part, and go to the dance differently next time as an invitation for them to dance differently with you. So what's your homework as we wrap up today? Kind of in the same vein as what it's been before. First, I want you to begin to reflect and notice, how are your dances in life? Are there relationship dances that are wonderful? And maybe what you ought to do is go and thank that person and tell them how wonderful it is and how appreciative you are. If there are dances you have right now that aren't working for you, maybe it's time to go introduce some new conversations that have been missing. Often what I discover is that we know what that conversation is. We've been having it in our head over and over. I really need to talk about this. I really need to talk about this. And we put it off and we put it off and the dance doesn't change. Maybe most importantly, as a reminder, the conversation you have with you is the most important conversation, because that ensures you have a strong relationship with yourself. But I want you to look between now and next week at, how are your dances? How are your dance moves? Do you have a variety of moves? Are you agile in your dances? I have different dances with different people. But maybe it's time to expand your dance repertoire and your conversational repertoire. So take a look over the next week. And if you notice some things and you decide, you know what, I want to change that dance, then go enter into some new conversations. Give it a shot. See what happens. So that's it for today's episode of the relationship dance and the conversations that make them up. So I wish you a great St. Paddy's Day weekend. I hope you have a great week beyond that. And we will be talking soon with the next episode of Wake Up and Pay Attention. As always, please let me know the feedback. Love to hear it. You can email me at mark@coachmark.com or any other way you want to reach me. I'd love to hear from you. Take good care, be well, and we'll talk soon. Well, my friends, that's a wrap for today. I'm so grateful you joined me and hope you feel energized by the insights we took a deeper look at together. If anything resonated with you or inspired new thinking, drop me a note. I'd love to hear your biggest takeaway. Please join me next time as we dive deeper into this never-ending journey of self-discovery. Until then, be well, be present, live fully and authentically. Wake up and pay attention.